Hello and welcome to Real Chat with Kat, the podcast dedicated to igniting your entrepreneurial spirit and empowering you to conquer new horizons. In this podcast, we chat with inspiring entrepreneurs on their journey to success through some amazingly insightful and expansive conversations. These episodes thrive on thought-provoking chats where our guests fearlessly explore their path to success, sharing their experiences, failures, and triumphs. No topic is off limits as we deep dive into the talked about and not so talked about pieces it takes to build a business, overcome limiting beliefs, deal with personal struggles, and everything in between that shapes our lives and our businesses. I'm your host, Kat Polsonelli, creator and founder at The Lotus Effect, where we believe that success is not just about strategies and tactics, it's about cultivating a powerful mindset and creating customized business operations that align with you and your true purpose. Whether it's mastering time management, improving productivity, enhancing leadership skills, or simply fostering a growth-oriented mindset, we'll provide you with the tools and strategies to flourish in both your business and personal life. I'm so excited to have you join us today in this episode, so get ready to feel empowered and inspired as we learn together and from one another on how to rise above challenges, break through limitations, and unlock our full potential. Let's dive in. Hello, hello, everyone, and thank you so much for joining me today on this episode of Real Chat with Kat. I am so excited to have you guys here with me today, and I have an awesome guest. We are back for round two with Miss Wendy Cox. So, Wendy, do us a favor and please reintroduce yourself. Tell us who you are, what it is that you do, and what got you into your space.
Oh, thank you so much, Kat. I had so much fun the first time. I am so excited to be here the second. So when we talked before, I had talked to you about my first book called Making Flex Work, Redefining Success on Your Own Terms. That is where I took my background, my chemical engineering, industrial engineering background, and put it to myself as a machine so that I could help people figure out how to be all the places they want to be and still deliver for their employer the way they want to do to build themselves and their career. I am here today to share Reimagine Your Work, which is my second book, also on the bestseller list. Very excited about it. This is around managing your career like it's your business. And I think it's perfect for your audience because many people in your audience, their business is their career and their career is in fact their business. Mm-hmm. So although this book is written for both a corporate audience and an entrepreneur audience, I think your audience is going to love it.
I am so excited to dive into this one too. So you guys get freaking ready. So, which I love Wendy anyway, and the way that her brain works. But so do me a favor then, give us a little insight on what does reimagine your work mean?
So I grew up in a family business. I was an adult by the time I realized what a blessing it was to grow up in that family business because I had an entire world that most of my peers didn't have. When I was a toddler, I was a part of our quality assurance team when my parents were selling laundry bags to dry cleaners. And when a shipment would come in and my dad would come home from what we refer to as his real job, you know, the one that provided the salary and the benefits, I got to do this job where he would put me in one of those bags and shake it. And if I didn't bust through the bottom, it passed the quality inspection. What a fun way to get the kids involved, right?
Yeah.
By the time I was a little bit older, I would go on sales calls with my mom. I would sit out in the lobby with my crayons and my coloring book while my mom would do sales calls. I would sit with her in the office while she was doing her billing. By the time I was in high school, I was running her front office. I was answering phones after school. I was doing the billing and all the invoicing. I was also writing the payroll checks on Fridays, which coincidentally were going to my friends who all worked for my mom.
That is so awesome.
So my friends would be like, we're going to go out. And I'd be like, not till I write your check. That's how it would work. But we had all these family conversations about money and around business and strategy that a lot of people don't have, Kat. And so when they have to either think about their career, they think I just go into a corporate world and it's going to take care of me. And that's just not true. You have to own your career, whether or not you work for a big company or you work for a small company or you work for yourself. It's easier to think about it when you work for yourself. But really this idea of how do you take this small business mindset and put it on you? Think about yourself as the product. You are what you sell. It doesn't matter where you work, you're the product. So what is your brand promise? What are your features and benefits? And how do you stack up against the competition? When you can put all those pieces together and really understand what's your strategic vision, you're really just running a business of you.
Which is so awesome. And if you think about it too, I mean, I think back to all of the marketers that I've spoken with and all of the people that run brand and design and things like that. And they all say, you know, the same thing, which is your brand is essentially you. And in the entrepreneurial space, right, you essentially are selling you. Yes, what it is that you offer is basically a byproduct of it, but people are looking for that relationship connection, right? They're looking for, okay, I understand this person. They know that I understand me. Cool. And they offer this. This is going to work out great, right? So this is, to me, is such a unique way to tie it all in together and to get people to understand that while, yes, you may run a small business, or you may be an entrepreneur and you may have a product to sell, you essentially are still selling who you are. So how can you align all of these pieces so that your day-to-day is run more on your energy of who you are and you don't feel like you are still pretending and pushing and putting a face out there that you want people to see, because that gets exhausting.
It does. It does get exhausting. And a lot of the reasons people get burnout in a corporate job is because they feel like they can't bring their authentic self. So they say, I'm going to run my own business and then I can truly just be me. And then, I mean, you and I are both entrepreneurs. You understand that you can't just always be authentically you.
Yeah.
There are absolutely times when I turn Wendy up and when I turn Wendy down. You have to know your audience.
Yeah.
You have to know who is going through that. So one of the things that I have on my website as a resource, you can go to reimagineyourwork.com and get this free resource. It's around a personal brand. And I think there's some people in your audience that would probably really like it. It's what I did when I left corporate and started my own business. And it's what I've coached people to do, whether they are in a corporate world or in an entrepreneurial world. And it's really crowdsourcing your current brand. Just like in Making Flex Work, where I said, you cannot change your time if you don't know what you're currently spending your time doing. You can't mm-hmm. manage your brand if you don't know what it already is. Mm-hmm. So I encourage people to spend 4 weeks on their social media and ask 4 questions, one each week, so that they can figure out what they're already known for. So the first week, you simply post, what is one word you would use to describe me? Then you can use that as data. You can make a word cloud out of it. You can start to look for trends.
Yeah.
I love this idea that some words you're going to get a lot, and that's really interesting, but some words you may only get once. And that can be equally interesting if you really stop and think, who is that person and why did they think of that word? What do they have that they bring that's unique? So the second week you go back out and you crowdsource, what am I best at?
Ooh, that's always an interesting one to ask.
Yeah. Because people know you for something already. You just don't know what they know you for. And if you're an entrepreneur, having people tell you what they already comes to mind when they think of you, they are your best sales tool. Your mm-hmm. network is your absolute best sales tool. So figuring out what they already think you are best at can help you move your business forward, right? The third one's a little different. So the third week, you're going to ask, what is your favorite memory with me? This plays into storytelling. People remember through stories. And if you can ask them to share a memory with you, then what you do is you open up an entirely different part of the brain. And what you'll see is that you'll have people that did not engage in week 1s and 2 that do engage in week 3.
Makes sense.
Because it's a different question, even though you're getting the exact same thing. When I did this, I was really amazed at the number of people that direct messaged or private messaged me because they didn't want to put it out in the world.
Oh,
they were afraid that their memory would embarrass them or would embarrass me. Not a single one of those memories was embarrassing, by the way. But when they had to say memory, my data-driven analytical people felt very vulnerable in the social media world, putting out something that tied them to the memory.
That makes sense.
Don't be shocked if that happens. Right? I got text messages and private messages with all these memories. So I didn't get as much feedback on the social media face, but I still got the feedback, right?
Mm-hmm.
Step four is just for you. So you can do this at any point during the process, which is what comes easily to you, but is difficult to many other people.
Ooh.
Yeah. So like, I love human puzzles. I read nonfiction psychology stuff for fun. As a chemical engineer, believe me, not a lot of my peers were doing that in college, right? Not many of my peers got a minor in English from Georgia Tech. That wasn't a thing that they did. But I love that part, and I love engaging that part of my brain. Mm-hmm. So when there's a people puzzle, that's sort of my sweet spot in a way that other people aren't. So from an entrepreneurial standpoint, if you can identify things that you do naturally, that's really where your value can be, even if it's not the business that you think you're selling.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So you're going to put all that together, those three pieces and the fourth. And then the last thing you're going to do is ask your group to help you pick a tagline. So I want you to take all of that and distill it and really think about, as a business, you have a tagline. As an author, my book has a tagline. As a business, I have a tagline. But let me come up with my own. So come up with three or four and throw it out there for a vote.
Okay.
As if you are a product, what's your tagline? Is it, this is Kat, I help make entrepreneurs more effective? Is it, my name is Kat and I put an operational approach to creative thinkers, right? There's lots of things that you do that you could come up with the tagline and let them just agree or disagree.
Mm-hmm.
You never have to use that tagline, but by putting all those pieces together, you have identified what you're currently known for.
Yeah, that and I think that also is a really great way to find out where you are lacking. And especially for people that maybe have already had their business for a while and know that they need to kind of revamp what it is that they've been saying, I think that that would really help them understand where the holes are in their business. Because if they're like, well, I've been saying this, but they're saying this, so obviously there's a disconnect. I think that's a really great way to mesh those two together to figure out where your holes could be as well, and make sure that you are identifying with your current or potential clients. And if not, now you understand why.
Certainly. And if there's parts of your business that haven't been growing and you don't understand why, and other parts that have been growing and you don't understand why, this exercise could help you put those two pieces together. Or maybe there's a piece that you've never even explored that people actually would be really drawn to.
That's so unique. And I love that, you know, you're looking for other people's input, because it also brings other people's perceptions, which, to be honest, when you're selling to someone or when you're talking about your product or yourself, your coach or anything like that, you are wanting to identify with the words that your potential clients would use. And so many times I see this all the time, is we get stuck in what we think they need to hear, but we're not listening to what they are actually saying. And so those words, while they may be similar, there is a complete disconnect. And then we wonder why people are not understanding our message, because we are trying to explain it in one way when our audience is actually intaking it another way. And you need to be able to flip those so that you are meeting your audience where it's at, regardless of how they intake the information.
Oh, for sure. And by taking kind of a word cloud approach or seeing what things, patterns come up, then you can start to use those words to describe what it is that you do in a way that's even more authentic than you probably even thought.
Yeah.
Because it is who you are. It's the way you are out there to the world. The other part is, if you get back feedback that you don't like, let's just be real honest, at least one of your listeners is going to hear something and like, it's going to make them a little sick and they're not going to want to talk to me anymore. They're going to say, nope, Wendy is done. You can't change what you don't know. Yeah. So if there is something and you get it back and you're like, that is not a word that I would want to describe me. Now you can do something about it, because clearly whatever you have been doing is getting you that response.
Yeah, so true. So true. And I think that is the biggest thing is, you know, when you think about running your own business, is so many times I see clients get caught up in trying to address everyone in a very generalized way. And then the message gets so many mixed signals that no one gets the message at all. And then you feel completely defeated because you're like, but I've been saying this, but I don't understand why this isn't coming across. And it really just has to do with just the way that people intake information. And you're right that having that word cloud and knowing how to pull from that, especially like you said, if it aligns with you when you're reading their stuff, then it doesn't feel icky. I feel like that's like the big thing with everybody, especially right. When it comes to sales or putting yourself out there. It's like, oh, that's kind of a weird word. I'm not used to using that. Or that doesn't feel like me. Whereas when you're getting feedback from your peers, your potentials, your clientele, you get to have this really good feeling about it as well, so that when you are speaking it, there is already a really great positive connection to it, and it does flow very naturally, and it doesn't sound like it's pieced together. It doesn't sound like it's scripted.
Right. Right. And maybe the words don't have a great flow to them. Is the flow more important, or is it being a truthful message that is super authentic to you? Right. Mm-hmm. So I just think it's a fun exercise to understand, and how are you coming across? So that works in the entrepreneurial world. It also works in the corporate world. If you work for someone else, you still have a brand. When you show up at a job, you are a product. They have bought your services, even if you are a salaried employee. And the way that you approach your work, the way you deliver your work, the way you interact with your peers, that's a brand.
Yeah. And you know, what's so funny, I just heard this not too long ago. Somebody was talking about this on something that I was watching. I think it was on Instagram, but they were talking about this exact thing, which is understanding that when you work with someone, they are essentially buying you. And you are that product. And I never thought about that when I was in the corporate world at all, right? I was just like, okay, and they bought these hours. This is the job I'm supposed to do, right? But when you, like, if you really think back on it, and I thought about all the different people that that I worked with and how I got hired, I'm like, I never got hired because somebody knew someone and that's how I got the job. Every job I ever went into, I never knew anyone. And I always came in like very upbeat, very, you know, this is this. Okay. Yeah. I don't know that, but I know I have the ability to approach. And that's when it ended up landing me the jobs. And I never really thought about it till I kind of heard that. And you bring it home so well with that you're still a brand, regardless of where you're at, regardless of what you're doing, even when you're with your family, with your friends, like it's still yeah. who you are. So what are you putting across, and is what you were putting out there authentic, or is it completely made up? And if that's the case, how exhausted are you when you go home?
No kidding. Well, and I want to be real clear. This is not about being the exact same person in every single situation. This is not like, yeah. if you don't like Wendy, too bad. This is about knowing all the different knobs that it is to be Wendy. There are certain audiences where I turn up my extrovert nature and I'm still the most introverted person in the room. And there are places with my engineering friends where I turn myself down to lowest volume possible and I'm still the biggest, loudest personality in the room. But if I just went at the middle for all those groups, I wouldn't fit in with any of them.
Mm-hmm.
It's about knowing which part of you is the part to play up with that and which part is the part that you play down. It's not about turning it off. It's just about understanding you have all those knobs and you can turn them to just dial in and exactly right for whatever that audience is. But if you don't know which knobs you have to turn, you can't tune it.
Yeah, definitely. Just like a guitar.
If I mean, you got to know which string to turn.
That is so, and I love that too, because I think about that and my approach has always been, how do you mirror somebody else, right? Because I have a very big, loud voice. And so I know that when I get on certain calls, that if the person that I'm speaking with is very quiet, I try to take it down a notch so that I don't overamplify the situation, because then you're going to put them in a space of being uncomfortable. But the great thing is, like you're saying, I don't have to pretend. I just know, oh, this person may not be able to really handle all of this. So dial it back just a little bit and I can still be me. I can still cut up. I can still have fun. And a lot of times I'll notice that people kind of come out of their shell, right? A little bit to kind of match back to it. But it is being able to, what I've always called, mirror and matching the people that you're around while still effectively being able to be who you are.
Right. So I teach at my alma mater in engineering, and I don't drink caffeine before my 8:30 class, because those poor students at 8:30, their energy level is at a zero. And I come in at a 5. If I'm caffeinated and I come in at an 8, there is too big of a difference between me and them. And they're not going to hear my message. Now my 12:30 in the afternoon students, I can have some tea during lunch. I can come in at an 8 because they're coming in at a 4. Right? You just have to understand where is your audience and how do you connect with them?
Yeah, definitely. I love this so much. Like, this is so needed, especially as we move into 2024, right? And so many people are going to be re-looking at their business or revamping what it is that their message is, or looking to see how they can make changes. Yes, I know all of you out there have your New Year's resolutions, but that you should have started way back when. But this is perfect timing. And I feel like it's such a perfect fit for people as well to hear this message, to understand that there is a way that you can do it differently, where the way that you come across doesn't feel so inorganic.
For sure. For sure. And as you talk about the kind of beginning of the year, that first quarter planning, so maybe you're not a New Year's resolution girl, but maybe you are like a strategic planner.
Yeah.
I love goals. That's my nerd in me. I can't help it. I want some metrics and some goals, and I want to be able to track it. But one of the things I think really is interesting is this concept that a lot of companies have that a lot of people don't think about for their careers, and especially entrepreneurs don't think about, which is this concept of a board of directors. Right? When you're in a big company, especially a publicly traded company, you have a board of directors. Mm-hmm. You've got a variety of people who are helping set the strategy. And when I left corporate and started my own entrepreneurial business, who helps me with my strategy? It's very isolating. It's very lonely to have to be the one making the decision and trying to decide, is that decision good or bad?
Yeah.
It's really no different though than when you're on your career, you're by yourself. You're the only person that can make a decision about you as a product and as a career. Just like as an entrepreneur, you're really the only one making that decision about your business.
Yeah.
So one of the things I encourage my readers to do is to develop their own personal board of directors, where they are the chairman of the board, right? That you get the tiebreaker vote. You are the one in charge. At the end of the day, you get the tiebreaker vote. But if you think about the way a board of directors is set up, there's always industry experts. So people that are in adjacent industries, or people who used to work in your industry and now they're going to help advise the company. So as an entrepreneur, thinking about who else is in this space near you that can help give you feedback when you need to make a decision. Also on a board of directors, you usually have one or more employees of the company. They're like your corporate insiders. They're the ones that understand. Now that is a little easier in a big company and a little harder for an entrepreneur. So figuring out, do you have a really close client that you can work with? Somebody that has been with you for a long part of your journey, right? That can really understand you as a business, can help to fill that need. Your family is super important in this, because as an entrepreneur, your decision impacts them. And maybe it doesn't, because maybe you are single and you are your only breadwinner and the only person you're accountable to. But having somebody that knows you at your core is important, so they can fill that corporate insider role for you too, right? Because they know you on the inside.
Yeah.
They've seen you at your most vulnerable. You need people that do that. You also need mentors. So other people that you strive to be. that can look at you and say, oh, I was here before. Here's what I know.
Mm-hmm.
And then I always encourage people to find someone who looks and acts like them. So someone like me. Because if all you have is people who don't look like you, how do you know that their advice is going to work for you?
Mm.
Because all of us have to go through life wrapped in this skin that we're in, whether that's our gender, whether that's our faith, whether that is our ethnicity. Our package that we're wrapped in changes the way people receive our message. So mm-hmm. if you don't have anybody on your board of directors that's wrapped in the same sort of package as you are, you might get very different results. And the person giving you the advice doesn't even know that's going to happen. I one time had an executive coach who gave me some specific feedback on how to act in a meeting. I'm sure that feedback worked great for him, Kat. Every one of my peers was a middle-aged white man. Your audience can't see me. I am now middle-aged, but at the time I wasn't. I am white, but I'm not a man. So I was the youngest in the room. I was the smallest in the room. I was the only female in the room. I was the only female voice in the room. If I behaved the way he said to behave, I would have been very off-putting and would never have got my message across.
Yeah.
So I parroted back to him, exactly how do you think this is going to go over when I do it?
Yeah.
And he stopped and he was like, oh, don't do that. And I was like, right, right. Thank you. I can't do that. So now let's strategize. What can I do?
Yeah.
And it was in that moment that I found out I always have to have someone who looks like me that I can go pressure test this advice with.
Yeah.
I have to go to somebody and be like, okay, this is what I got. Does it work for me? What's going to be different when I do it than when the person that gave me the advice does it?
Mm-hmm. Oh, that is super good advice as well, because, you know, I've talked about this a couple of times on the podcast as well, of being very aware of one, those that are in your circle, but those that you hire as well, because not everybody is going to fit who you are or your unique personality. And a lot of people, most people, coaches, consultants, they bring in their own way of doing things. And if the way that you do things do not align, or you all are polar opposites, then that person mentoring you or coaching you, you're going to hit heads from the beginning. Now you're wasting money and you're both wasting time because neither one of you are getting the message across. So you're so right on that one, you know, of just being very aware of that. I'm all for diversity when it comes to the people that are on my team and what I need them to do, which is their zone of genius and not mine, right? But that's very different from those that, like you're saying, you're getting advice from, or you need to kind of test something out on, and being aware of that, because you're so right. Polar opposites are great in certain situations, but when it comes to handling the way that you run your business and do certain things, probably not so much.
Yeah, because what works for one person might not be the same amount of effective for someone else. And it might get a polar opposite response based on who's saying it and what they're doing. So you have to know your audience, but you also have to know you.
Yeah. Can we say that one again? You have to know your audience, but you have to know you.
Yeah,
you have I feel to like this. Me. I feel like I've been preaching this on every podcast for like ever, is understanding who you are. Because if not, you're right. Your message, while it could be the exact same words, while it could be completely scripted the same, the way that you say it, the way that it comes across, the way that your energy shows it can be completely different.
Completely different. Yeah.
Oh, God. Sorry, so many things, you guys. I have an issue with this piece of it. I love this. The psychology behind it to me is just fascinating. So
It really is.
It just, everything makes so much sense when you start to understand that part of it versus just trying to make people like you.
For sure. And Kat, you said something in that last moment where you said you had this whole group of people that work for you and they're doing their zone of genius, right? When we take this brand and the psychology to the next level, anytime they're out representing you, they are now a part of your brand.
Mm.
So as a leader, everyone who represents you. I think that's an important piece that we forget is, yeah, I can hire somebody who's excellent at a skill, is that the way I want myself represented? Mm-hmm. Not just the skill, but their brand builds on my brand and becomes part of my brand. So if I have a team that is easy to work with becomes part of Wendy's brand. But if I have a team that is excellent at their jobs and a nightmare to deal with,
yeah,
that nightmare to deal with becomes a part of Wendy's brand too. And as a leader, you have to set the expectation, you have to set the example, but then you also have to make sure that you are being consistent with your team and your team is consistent with your message.
Yeah. Oh, that's such a good point to bring up. I thank you so much for bringing that to the surface, because you are so right. There is definitely a difference between just getting a job done and realizing who you are working with. And I feel like that also makes your work environment 10 times easier as well. Because if you love to communicate, yet the person that you're with just wants to be left alone, I'm sure that they can do things behind the scene fantastic, but there eventually is going to be some butting of the heads.
Right. Because your styles just don't align. It's not a good mm-hmm. fit, which I know is not a popular thing to say. Like, cultural fit is not a popular phrase. And yet it is so true. I spent decades helping hire undergraduates, either for entry-level jobs or for co-ops and internships. On a 30-minute phone interview, we would make a decision whether or not we wanted to hire somebody for a semester or longer.
Wow.
At the end of that 30 minutes, all you really know is this somebody I would want to talk with more? That's really all you have figured out.
Yeah. Right?
You know their degree, you know what classes they've taken. So you have to assume competent. Now, that 30 minutes is really about, like, if I got put in an office with that person, how would it go?
Yeah.
It is really all you can do. And when we think about, especially as entrepreneurs, when we're having to farm out or choosing to farm out parts of our work that doesn't fit with our skills and experiences and expertise and desires, sometimes just having someone that you want to work with is more important than having the person who is best at the job.
Yeah.
Good enough at the job and I want to work with them almost always trumps excellent at the job and I don't want to work with them.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. And it's still going to come back to, like you said, it's still going to come back to the way that they push your brand as well. It is. It's still going to have some type of effect, whether it's immediate or long-term down the road. It's still going to have an effect on your business and what your brand represents.
Right, right. And you as an entrepreneur have spent a lot of time building your brand and your company. This is your flesh and blood.
And sweat and tears.
And you're sweating tears, right?
And so many tears.
Many tears.
Winnie, this has been absolutely amazing. I cannot thank you enough. I am so excited about the second book. I have to ask you, even though you've already given tons of amazing feedback and advice, do you happen to have a piece of advice or a quote you would like to leave the audience with?
So I realized that I gave you the same quote last time, but it's because it's my favorite quote.
Yes, my favorite I'm okay with quote. That.
And as a big old nerd, the fact that it comes from Albert Einstein is absolutely on brand for me, right? So the quote is, the measure of intelligence is the ability to change.
Oh, I still like that one.
Sorry, it's still my favorite.
You know what? That just means someone needed the reminder.
I knew you were going to ask because I listened to your podcast. And so I went digging and I was like, you know what? I'm sticking with the one because it's true. I said it the first time that it's my favorite and it's still my favorite.
Oh, no, I am all for it. And I know that, you said that you've got resources on your website. So please do us a favor and tell everybody, how can they connect with you? How can they find you? How can they be in your world?
Excellent. So my first book is Making Flex Work. So you can go to makingflexwork.com. The second book is Reimagine Your Work. You can go to reimagineyourwork.com. Coincidentally, they're going to take you to the exact same spot. And then I am super active on LinkedIn. I love working with people in organizations who think about work differently. So if that is something that you do or you desire to do, connect with me on LinkedIn and I would love to chat.
Definitely. And Wendy, thank you so much again for being a part of the podcast again. Of course, everybody, we will have all that information in the show notes so that you can find both books and be able to follow her along. Look, see, and be able to follow her along on LinkedIn as well. Wendy is just a ball of fun. So I just, and if you like to nerd out, even better.
Yeah, even better. I'll nerd out with everybody.
So Wendy, thank you so much again for being a part of the podcast. Congratulations on book number 2. I am so excited for this. And to everybody else out there, I hope that you were listening hard and got some amazing takebacks. Wow. It's been a long day. Amazing information from Wendy. And if you have not checked out her books, please be sure to do so. Again, all that information will be in the show notes, and definitely check out the free resource. The branding of you to me is just the coolest and honestly the easiest thing to try out to see where you land. So anyway, until next time, don't forget, do one thing positive for someone each and every day and see the difference that it makes in your life. So until next time, have a fantastic day. Hello again, and thank you so much for being a part of the podcast today. If you enjoyed this episode and it brought tons of value, we ask that you please share, like, and subscribe. Your support means the world to us and helps us to reach even more inspiring entrepreneurs who can benefit from these powerful conversations. If you haven't already, be sure to leave a review on your favorite podcast platform, as this feedback is an amazing gift that fuels our growth and helps us to continually improve this podcast. Looking for an extra dose of inspiration and empowerment? Then be sure to connect with me on social media. You can find me at The Lotus Effect, where I share valuable resources and tips while sharing my own journey of being an entrepreneur. And if you're interested in learning more about my coaching programs and services, be sure to check out my website at the-lotus-effect.com. Once again, thank you so much for being a part of Real Chat with Kat. Your presence and support makes all the difference. Remember, whether you find yourself in the depths of the mud or on the path of growth, we all have a unique journey. And just like the lotus, some of us start in the dirtiest of mud, yet as we rise and grow, we blossom into something beautiful, unique, and truly one of a kind. To all of my visionaries out there, keep rising and growing as you create your own Lotus Effect.